Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. It is Tuesday, September 2nd, 2014, and I'm Leanne McAdoo. Here's what's coming up tonight.
Tonight, ISIS claims beheading of another journalist. Then, the border is wide open as a terror attack is imminent. And the secrets behind the celebrity sex hack. That's next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
All you had to do was get into the cloud, search by their names, find their accounts, and download it.
ISIS has reportedly released a video showing the second beheading of a U.S. hostage, journalist Stephen Sotloff. The video reportedly warns the government to back off from the evil alliance of America against the Islamic State. The video ends threatening the life of British journalist captive David Haynes. There was no immediate confirmation of this video. However, ISIS did tweet out to some of its followers an apology letter saying that the video had been released prior to them giving the go-ahead. I don't know if that means they were still working on some snazzy editing techniques for this video. Some people thought the first video looked fake, so ISIS has apparently tried to improve the look of their video with this second beheading captured on film now. To me, it's just more horrendous and bringing the threat of ISIS into our collective consciousness. This is at the top of Drudge now. Missing jetliners raise fears of 9/11-style attacks. Following the takeover of Tripoli International Airport in late August, Islamist militias in Libya took control of nearly a dozen commercial jetliners, and Western intelligence agencies have issued a warning that the jets could be used in terrorist attacks across North Africa. They've also included a warning that one or more of the aircraft could be used in an attack later this month on the date marking the anniversary of the September 11, 2001 attacks. Now, for all of you who are really into numbers, this has been floating around for a few weeks now, but today it is 9 days before September 11th, and there were 11 jetliners supposedly taken control of by the Islamic militia. So this is, of course, just all getting it really embedded in our collective consciousness. Of course, they're using those same numbers and imagery. But if ISIS is really wanting to use this video and all of this is a threat to get the government to step off, it's not working. And in fact, this propaganda video is actually helping to raise public support for going to war in Syria and in the region where ISIS is now taking control. Their war propaganda is working. Now a large majority of Americans want military action in Syria. This is a complete turnaround on the attitudes of 1 year ago. A YouGov poll released this week found that four times as many Americans now support U.S.-led military action than oppose it. Now, never mind that the government was proposing airstrikes to aid the rebels that it was arming in Syria just last year. Now, any U.S. military action in Syria is going to be sold on this exact opposite reasoning. Militant Islamic rebels are taking over the country. So you'll recall that last year, when news of the missing journalist James Foley was first reported, his kidnapping was blamed on the Assad regime. This is a CNN article. They were saying he was most likely abducted by a pro-regime militia group and turned over to Syrian government forces. They kept repeating, "We have multiple independent reports from very credible confidential sources. Jim is now being held by the Syrian government." His brother, Michael Foley, says he learned from highly credible sources that the Syrian government is holding him right now. He wouldn't elaborate. But of course, now we know that that was not the case. But the facts don't matter in this. It's back to getting the public to go ahead and be okay with going to war in Syria, pushing it once again back onto Syria. Now, while the government is going to be using the James Foley video and no doubt this second video to gear support for war in the Middle East, the feds are completely ignoring the threat that ISIS poses at the U.S. border. Of course, that's going to counter their, you know, trying to pass sweeping immigration reform, so that they don't even want to talk about it. Now, Friday, Judicial Watch released a bulletin saying that investigators have picked up radio chatter saying that they were going to be terrorist groups are going to be carrying out an attack on the border. And then separately, Breitbart also confirmed that it had obtained a document from state officials warning of a potential ISIS attack. Fort Bliss, which is the American Army post across the border from Juarez, was on high alert against a potential terrorist attack through the Labor Day weekend. Of course, now we know it's going to be going through the September 11th date. Our reporter Joe Biggs will be there tomorrow reporting to find out, is it a hoax? Is it going to be another false flag to take our liberties? Or will indeed it be true? Is there a threat? And in that case, will the Democrats be blamed for keeping the border wide open and inviting everyone in? Now, here is Joe Biggs with an update on ISIS at the U.S. border.
I'm Joe Biggs with Infowars.com, bringing you more updates about U.S.-backed ISIS terrorist group who is now currently operating a certain part of them in Juarez, Mexico. Now, at the end of last week, I talked about how there could be a threat to Fort Bliss because it's in El Paso, right across from Juarez, where this ISIS threat is. To confirm, over the weekend, they did lock down most of the gates. They left open two main gates, the Biggs Gate and the Sergeant Major Gate. And what happened was they only allow people DOD cards, the CAT cards that you get from the Army to come on base. They denied civilian access to those gates, and all vehicles were subject to random search. So anybody going through could get pulled over, mirrors under the car, dogs coming through, because they are taking that threat seriously at Fort Bliss. But right now, a new publication, it's an online magazine by Al-Qaeda called Palestine Betrayal of the Guilty Conscience Al-Malahim. It talks about how you can build a car bomb, how to make IEDs, and it mentions a couple targets. It talks about the Georgia Military College, the U.S. Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs, Las Vegas, and once again, Times Square. So these guys aren't playing around. They are really being active. They're trying to get on American soil and start hitting targets. It's a big threat. But the biggest thing to remember, though, is like I've said before, this is a U.S.-backed terrorist group. We funded Al-Qaeda. Look what happened to them. These guys, we've trained as well. And with our special forces, with MI6, with military special forces. So, you know, what is our end game for this? What is our government trying to do? You know, another thing that's funny as well, over the weekend, we let one of our compounds in Libya get taken over by an Islamic militant group. And they turned it into a pool party. Someone from the Associated Press walked by and actually filmed it. These guys are jumping off of the second balcony into the pool, doing flips, look like a spring break video. You know, right now, the government's hyping up this whole, we're going to be under attack, we're going to be under attack. Meanwhile, they're just letting them take places like this. They're not trying to stop it. You know, our borders are left wide open. Who's going to stop them from coming in when we have all the people pulled away who are supposed to protect it? What is the government trying to do with this? But stay tuned. Over time, we're going to continue bringing you updates as they happen. I'm going to head to El Paso and see what's going on with the situation down there with ISIS and the threat at our southern borders. Once again, I'm Joe Biggs with Infowars.com.
Now, Obama has said we don't have a strategy yet to deal with ISIS. How many more beheading videos is it going to take before he devises a strategy? And instead of focusing on that strategy to deal with the threat of ISIS at the U.S. border and elsewhere, the government is now focusing on non-Muslim threats. Bill Gertz for the Washington Free Beacon writes, the FBI's most recent national threat assessment for domestic terrorism makes no reference to Islamic terrorist threats, despite last year's Boston Marathon bombing and the 2009 Fort Hood shooting, both which were carried out by radical Muslim Americans. These were actual terror acts on U.S. soil that may or may not have been started by the federal government. Now, the most prominent threat to America, according to the FBI and the government, comes from eight types of domestic extremist movements, none motivated by radical Islam. These include anti-government militia groups, white supremacy extremists, sovereign citizens. Others include violent animal rights and environmentalist extremists, black separatists, anti- and pro-abortion activists, and Puerto Rican nationalists. I don't really know why they threw that in there, but I guess according to the DHS, FBI, DOJ, and the state police, political opposition is the real threat to America. It's not ISIS at the border. It's not the drug cartels coming through the wide open border. Nope. It's all of you people who care about your liberty and Puerto Rican nationalists for whatever reason. And on Sunday, whistleblower and Nobel Peace Prize nominee Jim Garrow says that he was set up in retaliation for criticizing Obama. We might see some more of these type of stories coming out. Anyone who wants to speak out. You'll recall Garrow appeared on the Alex Jones show last year. He was warning about the litmus test the Obama administration was giving top military veterans to find out if they would fire upon U.S. citizens. But he says that when he arrived home from the infiltration tour, he unloaded his camper trailer and discovered a pistol in a Ruger bag with ammunition and a gun lock. He doesn't know where it came from. He called his son-in-law, who is a cop, and his son-in-law, Chris Nielsen, confirmed that it is a restricted weapon like the one that he was forced to turn in. His son-in-law then turned him into the police. Now Garrow says he's facing four charges, and he contests that he has no idea where this gun came from. Now, a recent article in the Army Times reports that the Army is now seeing mega cities like what they're planning for Austin and Dallas and Houston and other mega cities. These will be the future battlefield. Now, the future of armed combat, which will revolve around the neutralization of groups who can influence the lives of the population while undermining the authority of the state. So Garrow's article really got a lot of outcry for people saying, wait a minute, the military is being asked to fire upon Americans. So here he's being targeted. The plan foresees an unprecedented realignment of U.S. military strategy. They're going to be focused on putting boots on the ground in megacities to deal with politically dispossessed populations while relying on more lethal and more autonomous methods. The report also notes the Army will utilize directed energy weapons, which would allow U.S. to have direct fire capabilities with significant logistics reduction. So it's going to make them even easier for them to fire upon you. Now, given the recent militarized police response to unrest in Ferguson, Missouri, this is a frightening concept. The residents there were, of course, fighting against the abuse by the authority there and protesting the authority of the state. So now they're basically being told that in these megacities, of which St. Louis is one of them, they need to be prepared to be fired upon with more lethal and more autonomous methods. And of course, they don't have any problem firing rubber bullets on our reporters as well as innocent citizens. So we know they're not going to have an issue here with this. But while the U.S. border remains wide open and ISIS is a threat, according to top officials, it's the American citizens and those who love liberty who are the issue. But forget about ISIS, forget about the insecurity at the border, wars raging everywhere, the NSA spying on innocent citizens. No, nude photos of celebrities have hit the internet. Now everyone wants to talk about internet security. That's coming up next.
Alex Jones here to tell you about how you can help spread liberty worldwide while also enjoying what I have found to be the best tasting 100% organic coffee on the planet. For more than a decade, my favorite coffee has come from the high mountains of southern Mexico, where the Chiapas farmers grow their unique shade-grown Arabica beans. We have now managed to secure these sought-after beans in a highly customized blend. Discover and try a bag of the Patriot Blend 100% organic coffee at InfoWarsLife.com. This coffee gives you a long, smooth pick-me-up for hours without the headaches and heartburn that so many other coffees give me personally. Hands down, this is my favorite coffee, and it's taken us years to secure connections directly to the Chiapas Mexican farmers. Drop by the site today, order a bag or two, and I don't think you're going to be disappointed. Available in original or with our immune support infusion blend, you will be supporting a free press, all the while enjoying a truly great-tasting cup of my favorite coffee. Available at InfoWarsLife.com.
You've experienced and heard about the benefits of Supermale Vitality. Now, the new formula has arrived. Introducing the new Super Female Vitality. I have specifically designed this formula to help the body naturally regulate itself without the use of artificial hormones. Key ingredients chosen from the highest quality sources. Secure your Super Female Vitality today from our limited stock at InfoWarsLife.com.
Another round of celebrities have been hacked. Reportedly, Hollywood stars like Kate Upton and Jennifer Lawrence have had their photos stolen, their intimate moments taken by a hacker known as the Original Guy, who claims to be working with others. One of the actresses affected commented that she had previously deleted the photos and was shocked when they appeared on the internet. At this point, we don't know who all the players are, but we do know about the weaknesses of cloud storage systems. Years back, even the Apple co-founder Steve Wozniak warned of such vulnerabilities, saying, "With the cloud, you don't own anything. The more we transfer everything onto the web, onto the cloud, the less we're going to have control over it."
Enjoyed your video.
Hello, and welcome to Joy of Sex.
Our sex dungeon.
Every position.
Honey.
Wow, that sweater, nice, girl.
What the hell is going on?
You know the cloud?
These things are all too common, but they only make the news when they happen to big Hollywood stars. We here at InfoWars have been warning about these vulnerabilities for years and even filed a report earlier this summer.
NSA Snoop shared intercepted sextings. So, you know, Snowden's saying that his colleagues back at the NSA, they got your sex messages, they got your naked selfies, and they're up here laughing and sharing them back and forth, trading them around like playing cards. But Leanne, we live in a world where something as simple as taking a picture of your feet could go viral on the internet. And you don't want to live in that kind of environment.
Be careful what information you put on your phone, on your computer, anything with online capability. Because whether it's a pack of hackers or government-funded snoops, which oftentimes are one and the same, your devices are open to intrusion. You can find more reports at InfoWars.com.
According to DARPA, who invented the internet and set up the modern infrastructure we live under, within just a few years, devices are coming out where they won't store data natively, or very little. You'll be forced onto a cloud-like system. Cloud computing, headed up by Amazon, Google, and Apple, Oracle, Cisco, and others, openly admits that they're co-housing their servers with the NSA and the CIA. And that Microsoft has basically been part of the intelligence combine since its founding, along with IBM. So when I talk about hundreds of stars having their photos grabbed by a hacker who was able to break into the Apple cloud, it's a fact that these systems make us insecure, not secure. All you had to do was get into the cloud, search by their names, find their accounts, and download it.
Celebrate the spirit of freedom and liberty upon which our nation was founded at InfoWarsShop.com. Molon Lave is ancient Greek for come and take it. This popular design combines both classic Greek Spartan imagery with modern M16 assault rifles. Now available in women's tees and proudly made in the USA. And now you can protect yourself from corrupt cops with the InfoWars dash cam. It's your car's black box that records all that the driver sees and hears. And introducing the Block It Pocket. It renders your phone undetectable while protecting your private data and your health. Or take back your privacy and protect your personal information by getting your very own detractor cell phone pouch. So get incredibly high quality freedom-based products and help fund the revolution at InfoWarsShop.com.
City of Austin tap water versus filtered City of Austin tap water.
I can, like, taste dirt in it.
God knows what's in this.
This has an aftertaste. Tastes like Austin water?
Yeah, it does. Ugh.
These people just sampled City of Austin tap water straight from the faucet. Next, we had them try a sample of tap water filtered with the ProPure G2.0 filtration system.
High quality H2O.
That one is better.
Tastes like nothing.
Yep, I know what good water tastes like. It's good water.
Most tap water contains added substances like fluoride, chlorine, Monsanto's deadly pesticide, glyphosate, and many others. Studies prove that these substances are linked to an assortment of major health issues, including tooth decay, lowered IQ, and even cancer.
It tastes like you're drinking out of the lake when you're drinking tap water.
Yeah, that's that processed flavor to it.
The ProPure G2.0 filtration system removes these deadly substances and many more, leaving only fresh-tasting, deliciously clean water.
Okay, this is very tasty.
It's good water. Refreshing.
It's good.
Go to InfoWarsStore.com today. Use promo code WATER and save 10% off your ProPure purchase. Again, that's InfoWarsStore.com or call 1-888-253-3139.
Welcome back. Now, to quote our next guest, John Rappaport, he says the 2004 CDC study on the MMR vaccine and autism was cooked. It was a fraud. Now, actually, it's a massive cover-up. It's not just the CDC. The cover-up extends to mainstream media, of course, especially CNN, who is actually pushing back on this, as well as scientific journals. So to break all that down for us and to explain what it really means is John Rappaport of NoMoreFakeNews.com.
Good to be here. Thanks.
Now, of course, I won't let you run the narrative out on how this has developed over the last few years, but basically we've got a very high-ranking official scientist at the CDC who did a study 10 years ago, and that showed a correlation between autism and vaccines, and yet they covered that up for 10 years, and some of the people on the study are some of the highest-ranking people at the CDC. Tell us how this has evolved in the as it's been gradually exposing and coming out.
Well, on August 27th, CDC whistleblower scientist William Thompson admitted that this key study that was published in 2004 in a very prestigious journal, Pediatrics, that basically whitewashed any possible connection between the MMR vaccine, measles, mumps, rubella, and autism, was a fraud. That he and other co-authors left out a key set of data, as he calls it, about young male African-American babies who had a much higher risk of autism and had been vaccinated with the MMR vaccine. He admitted to this in a public statement that was released through his lawyer, Rick Morgan, in Cincinnati, who was a whistleblower attorney. Now, Thompson is still working at the CDC. He hasn't been fired. He hasn't quit. He's a scientist. And yet, here he comes out with this remarkable statement, and people have to understand how amazing this is. I mean, researchers, big-time researchers, don't do this.
That's right.
They don't come back and say, hey, it was a fraud, and I was in on the fraud, and so were my co-authors, especially since one of those co-authors, the lead author in the study, Frank DiStefano, or DiStefano, is also an executive at the CDC in charge of vaccine safety. So this is a gigantic scandal. And the major media have been pushing back, covering it up.
And as you point out, John, this has had real consequences for families for the last 10 years as they've kept this quiet. That was a 340% increase in the risk of autism for the young male blacks who got that vaccine under 3 years of age.
Yes. So in the past 10 years, how many more cases of autism connected with the vaccine have been brushed aside, overlooked? The public hasn't been informed. Mothers haven't known. Fathers haven't known because of this fraudulent study that was published, as you say, 10 years ago in 2004. So we're talking about real humans here. This is not just an academic question. We're talking about major vaccine damage, destruction of human life, destruction of brains in babies. It doesn't end. And
it's much broader. It's much broader than just the CDC covering this up as well. We also have a journal where Dr. Brian Hooker, who learned of this information from talking with the Dr. Thompson at the CDC, he published a study basically having the data re-added that was omitted, and that study was taken down, and we've seen CNN basically push back against this whole narrative with a series of reports that are trying to get people to not pay attention to this, to reassert that in spite of this story, that they have many other studies. John, if we can't trust this study, can we trust those other studies?
No, absolutely not. Neither can we trust any of the studies that any of these co-authors on the 2004 study have published, and they have published other studies about vaccine safety, about mercury in vaccines, about the whole shooting match. So now everything is thrown into complete doubt. And yet, the CDC is saying nothing about this. There is no sign or hint of an internal investigation, or better yet, an outside investigation. Nothing about congressional hearings. And as I said, major media are covering it up or making very little of it, trying to claim there is no problem. So this is a crime, a conspiracy, a cover-up, classic case with huge amounts of human damage littered in the wake of this.
Now, this journal that took down Brian Hooker, Dr. Brian Hooker's report showing the data, they took down that study. They have still not put that up, even though Dr. Thompson has come out and verified that what was said about it, the 340% increase in risk for young black males having this vaccination. We saw this reported by the alternative media. We saw it reported by citizen journalists at CNN's iReport. Talk about that, because they took down some of those articles at CNN.
Yeah, there were a couple of iCitizen or iReports at CNN. That's, as you say, their citizen news outlet, exposing parts of this scandal when it first broke. And these reports were getting huge numbers of hits, hundreds of thousands of views and so on. And then they were taken down with some sort of a statement, or we're trying to verify this and vet the story. We'll get back to you. The stories continued to be disappeared. Then they came back again, off and on, off and on. CNN was obviously scrambling to try to figure out what to do, because these iReports from citizens were getting, in many cases, more attention, interest from the public than the regular news stories that CNN was reporting.
And
so
then CNN,
they were hustling to try to see what they could do to cover this whole thing up.
Exactly. And then CNN came out with an article, "Journal Questions the Validity of Autism and Vaccine Study." So basically what they do is they do an article talking about how that journal took down Dr. Brian Hooker's information that actually came from the original CDC study 10 years ago that was omitted. So when he put that information back in, and that was listed on a journal as a study, and they took it back in, the angle that they took about that was that the journal took that down because it wasn't a good story, wasn't a valid story. And I noticed that what they did was they linked to the place where the journal had taken that story down. They never linked, you can't find the original article from Dr. Hooker, and they don't talk anywhere about that increase in risk, what that amounted to. Instead, and I want to play this real quick clip from the CNN report that Elizabeth Cohen did and get your remarks on this. Instead, they talk about how vaccines are responsible for a drop in infant mortality.
Vaccines do not cause autism, and vaccines do a huge amount of good. Take a look at this number. I think it is really stunning. Let's look at infant mortality in the United States. In 1900, it was 100 deaths for every 1,000 babies born. In 2000, it was 7 deaths per every 1,000 babies born. And vaccines are a huge reason for this, because the world is safer for babies and for infants and for children because of vaccine.
What's your comment on that, John?
Well, this is obviously propaganda, has nothing to do with science. In fact, the reason that mortality has dropped over the last 100 years or so has a lot to do, a great deal to do, with improved nutrition, better sanitation, and also better care in terms of, you know, doctors washing their hands, doing obvious, simple things.
Yes.
It's well known that the whole decline, where there is a decline in infectious disease in the West, has everything to do with increased, improved living conditions for the massive population.
And the understanding
of what it was before.
And the understanding of the sanitary conditions. It's interesting. You went down essentially the same list. I didn't tell you this. From the U.S. Health Resources and Services, I looked up what they attributed the drop in infant mortality to, and they said, with the exception of plateaus in 1955 to 1959 and 2000 to 2005, infant mortality has generally declined since first assessed in 1915. They say the substantial infant mortality decline over the 20th century has been attributed to economic growth, improved nutrition, new sanitary measures, as well as advances in clinical medicine and access to care. So essentially, most people that I've seen attribute it mostly to sanitation increases, or as you were pointing out, just the broader spectrum of people having a better lifestyle. Exactly. Yeah. But I thought it was interesting that she would just make this correlation to vaccines without any scientific proof. That's the only thing that she came up with that had anything to do with statistics or studies or anything, and just connected that solely to vaccines, when we've seen just back in March of this year, the Huffington Post talked about now 1 in 68 kids have autism. And to get people to understand how this is increasing, they point out that it was 1 in 2,500 back in the 1960s. By 2000, it was 1 in 150. Just 2 years ago, it was 1 in 88. And now, this year, it's 1 in 66, a 30% increase from just 2 years ago. That's about a 2 to 3,000% increase since the 1960s and 70s. So over about 50 years, they've had a 2 to 3,000% increase.
Yeah, well, you can parallel this explosion in diagnosed autism, which we're really talking about brain damage, neurological damage, from the growth, or with the growth, in the CDC schedule of vaccines. More vaccines. More vaccines given earlier to babies. They always want to add more and more. Oh, we need 50 shots, 55, 60. Loading toxic chemicals and germs by injection route into babies, young children, and so forth and so on. And then they claim, of course, there could be no connection because we automatically know that all these vaccines are safe and effective, which, of course, is a gigantic fraud and a lie.
Yes, yes. So this study throws into question the other studies that they use to justify this. Now, to quote the doctor, Dr. Thompson, he said that they had omitted statistically significant information out of this. And I think it would be statistically significant. If I had a child that was in that demographic, I would want to know that there'd been a 340% increase in their risk. I might take that in consideration and not give them the measles, mumps, and rubella shot. I remember when I was a child and one of my friends would get the measles, they would take me to his house so I could get the measles as a childhood disease. It was simply a fever for a few days. It wasn't that I would have to suffer with autism for the rest of my life.
Exactly. That was the root of immunization.
Yes.
You know, you
yes.
get the disease, you recover. Mm-hmm. And this has been also completely covered up because now the propaganda machine spits out that these childhood diseases are all extremely serious and potentially lethal and so forth. And so the only way to stop massive death and destruction from happening is to vaccinate, 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 vaccinate. Well, this is just another gigantic lie. The CDC, people have to understand, the Centers for Disease Control, is basically a PR front agency for the pharmaceutical industry. That's what they are. That's what they do. The industry is their client. So when it comes to drugs and vaccines, they continually figure out ways to promote them, to publicize them, to scare the public into taking them. This is all just very routine. It's part of their daily business. That's what they do. And they also publish studies. You might even say as a kind of sideline, to justify and explain the, quote, science that allows us to do all of this lying propaganda. So when Thompson came out, the whistleblower, and said, wait a minute, this 2004 study was a fraud. Again, people have to understand that within the world of medical research, an admission like this is a gigantic scandal. If it had been about anything else, you would see headlines. But because it's about the most protected area of the medical system, vaccines, the effort has been completely in the opposite direction.
We're almost out of time, but I wanted you to quickly address the issue that you brought up in the article that came out yesterday on InfoWars.com. CDC whistleblower's confession, his personal safety, you believe, is still an issue. Talk about the fact that he tries to walk this back and say that he got an award since this information came out from the CDC. Talk to us a little bit about what's going on there. And if you could briefly talk about the fact that when CNN goes to Dr. Stefano, who is at the CDC, head of vaccine safety, he puts forth a explanation for autism that is novel and pretty amazing.
Yeah, let's take up that first. See, DeStefano was one of the co-authors on the study that Thompson has now admitted was a fraud. But DeStefano is something else entirely as well. He is an executive at the CDC who has been in charge of vaccine safety. So he's wearing two hats here, which is already a conflict of interest.
Yes.
So naturally, CNN calls on him as the objective outside expert to assure everybody that this 2004 study is not a problem, there was really no fraud, and to pile on, DeStefano says, as a matter of fact, we basically know, several studies indicate, that autism develops in utero, in other words, in the fetus, before the fetus could ever get a vaccine, and so therefore there couldn't possibly be any connection between vaccines and autism. Really? There is no scientific basis for that statement at all. And if it were true, then why would the CDC and many other agencies and so forth need to do research and study about vaccines and autism? All they would have to do is to say, well, we know there's no connection between autism and vaccines because autism develops in the womb. There it is. End of story. So this is also piling on with more fraud, more really repellent fraud on the part of DeStefano. And it's a conflict of interest, and CNN gives it a completely free pass. They, you know, are basically either clueless or complicit, possibly both, and they just print the story and they go on to other things. But meanwhile, as we've said several times here, the human damage continues. Babies, children developing neurological brain damage as a result of vaccines, and nobody in the medical establishment cares.
Well, I wish we had more time, but that's all we got time for tonight. Thank you so much, John Rapoport. We'll continue to follow this story.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you. And again, that's John Rapoport of NoMoreFakeNews.com. Now, that's the end of our show, but stay with us because coming up, we have a special report from Alex Jones. You know, Piers Morgan may be gone, but he still fondly remembers Alex Jones's appearance as the high water mark of his career. We would agree. Now, if you're not a Prison Planet TV subscriber, please consider supporting our operation. It'll let you stay abreast of new developments, of course, as we cover them with the vaccine autism connection. We've been covering that for a long time, but now things are really starting to break with that, as well as other stories. It lets you follow the news each night, pass that on to your friends. Give them a different perspective than they're going to get from the controlled media at CNN and other mainstream outlets. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow at 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern.
This is Alex Jones for InfoWarsLife.com. The latest in preparedness is now here, an electrically stabilized colloidal silver solution that can be added to both your home cabinet and preparedness pack alike. Concentrated to 30 parts per million in what has been dubbed the survival silver solution, and it's entirely free of toxic artificial additives that are loaded into many products. Purchase your bottle of InfoWarsLife.com Silver Bullet Colloidal Silver today and find other amazing supplements at InfoWarsLife.com.
It was voted by the LA Times, Hollywood Reporter, and even CNN viewers themselves in different polls to be the number one political debate moment of 2013. In fact, it's still written about today, not just here in the United States, but all over the world. What am I talking about? Well, that January 7th, 2013, now over a year and a half ago, two-segment debate, it was supposed to go for three segments, that I had with Piers Morgan. Really, the archetypal image of state-run media, of a system based on deception and manipulation. And Piers Morgan has now doubled down. His contract is officially up with CNN, that they pulled him off the air months ago, as I guess he prepares to move back to England. And Piers Morgan has come out and said that he wants to be remembered in the tweet that we have on screen as the person that did this. And then he links to a YouTube video that has some of the highlights of our discussion.
Well, he said never let us tolerate
to murder. I can speak in this accent as well.
Yeah. The but is that
government,
what you believe?
Hitler firebombed his own Reichstag pierce to bring in martial law in Germany, April 27th, 1933. Governments have staged terror attacks throughout history or allowed terrorists to attack as a pretext to invade and enslave the populations. I probably own more than 50 firearms. Many of them have increased in value 2, 3, or even 4 times. I sleep very comfortably outside Austin, Texas, knowing that I can defend my family.
Now think about this for a moment. At this point, he began to lose more and more of his viewers, and over the next year completely collapsed in the ratings. The American people openly turned against him. Mainstream pundits said, we don't need a foreigner lecturing us about our Second Amendment, much less one from England. We had a war with England over their attempt to take our guns in 1776. It completely blew up in his face. The reason this had such an effect and aired on television shows and nightly news programs all over the world was because I called him on his facade. I called him out that he didn't want to just have, quote, reasonable gun control. They wanted to disarm their political slaves. And the American people turned against him because they didn't want to have a redcoat who he had a war with back in 1776 over the attempt to confiscate guns now lecturing us in what was 2013.
Hitler took the guns. Stalin took the guns. Mao took the guns. Fidel Castro took the guns. Hugo Chavez took the guns. And I'm here to tell you, 1776 will commence again if you try to take our firearms. Doesn't matter how many lemmings you get out there on the street begging for them to have their guns taken. We will not relinquish them. Do you understand?
This little piece of media history is evergreen. It just gets bigger and bigger. And a few months after our confrontation, I got a tip from the gun range owners that he was going to be in Houston interviewing folks and trying to demonize the Second Amendment. So I traveled down there and had a chance to talk to him and attempted to be friendly and to challenge him to have another debate. I was then told as I left privately by the producers that we had the highest ratings ever when you were on. We want to have you back on, but people feel like you've been given too much attention and you're dangerous. It was my coming on the show that gave Piers Morgan attention.
I don't want that man to have a gun. I wouldn't feel comfortable having an argument with him in his home where he had access to his 50 weapons. And if he got really mad at something I said, or if I disputed his contentions.
Challenge Alex Jones to a boxing match, show up with a semi-automatic that you got legally, and pop him.
I'd love to see that. In uniform.
I don't need Piers Morgan for attention. My ratings go up. Freedom is popular. Our operation is growing. It's CNN that's imploding. But I'm glad the mainstream media and Piers Morgan are still defiant and delusional, because they still think doing the same thing over and over again, lying to their viewers, deceiving people, is working as they hemorrhage out day after day, month after month, year after year, as their ratings go down. And not just CNN, but MSNBC, you name it. The people are waking up. Congress has a 7% approval rating. And I love the people of England. I myself have English heritage. I want 1776 worldwide. I want them to get a right to defend themselves there as well, so they're not the mugging capital of Europe. I want to see a Swiss system of low crime and an armed citizenry where women can protect and defend themselves. We all have a right to defend ourselves, and it's that simple. And the American rejection of Piers Morgan, the American rejection of teleprompter media, and the American embracing of teleprompter-free media and liberty-based, truth-based media is taking the world by storm. So I want to thank all the viewers for their support over the years. And I want to thank all of the independent media folks out there that are promoting freedom in the face of this tyranny. We are winning. We have defeated Piers Morgan, and we're going to defeat the entire state-run media complex, no matter how much propaganda, lies, race-baiting, and deceit they spew, because liberty and freedom is popular. Well, that's it tonight from the InfoWars.com News System Studios. We are the tip of the spear. Never forget that all of you are incredibly important. And when you're watching and listening to this transmission and spreading the word, that you are the resistance.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcode with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.